Good afternoon. This is Chloe DiPilato. I'm coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut, on behalf of Herald of His Kingdom and specifically Seeds for the Sower. It comes into my heart today to talk about the subject of healing and the touches from the Lord that I've had personally to encourage you. But I want to start with a scripture, that's in 2 Corinthians 4, and let's just begin with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, yesterday, and forever. You are the same, Lord. You change not. You said, I am the Lord God that changes not. And Father, so we believe the promises of your word, Lord, especially those who are of the seed of Abraham by faith, which we are. We are in covenant relationship with you because of the blood of Jesus, the waters of baptism, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We believe we are in covenant relationship with you. And we believe that healing is the children's bread. So I just pray, God, that you would cause this word, Lord God, to be full of unction, Lord, that your people would be encouraged, Lord God, in you, Lord, and in your care for them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. The last time I brought a message, as I was speaking, the Lord spoke to me that I was to preach on a certain verse, and I've just been mulling this over, and I'll give it to you. This is going to be more of a testimonial type of a preaching than a let's break down the word preaching. And it's in 2 Corinthians 4, and it's verse 16, and I would suggest reading it in context later on for yourselves, but it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I'm taking this scripture, and it stuck in my spirit because I actually read this scripture on a website of some people who truly love Jesus, but they just don't believe that God is still a God of miracles. They believe that those things ceased, that they were very, very much miracles and healings were just for a specific time in history to prove that Jesus was here, that he came, that he gave his life, that he was in the earth and that the church was being established. And they just have negative ideas when it comes to healing or deliverance or miracles or anything like that. And I found that this is the verse they use. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So what they say is that God is not healing anymore because our outward man is perishing. Oh, Lord, that may be true in the sense of this mortality is eventually going to take on immortality. But there's just too many things in history. First of all, there's the testimony of the word, where the apostles, the disciples, believed God and he came with a healing touch. The Bible even talks about how there were many miracles wrought at Paul's hands. And we know about the shadow of Peter, how it was mighty to heal. And we know about just different ones who had listened to a word from the Lord and they were healed. And then we have the scriptures that the preachers who do believe in healing give to us. And of course, there's the one in Isaiah 53 where it talks about he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And it's amazing how scholarly people who they can break down scriptures in a way that you just totally admire them can turn around, look at Isaiah 53 and be all about the healing, or all about the forgiveness of sins, be all about the fact that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, but they just cut it off at by his stripes we are healed. That makes no sense. That's just handling the word of God dishonestly and even deceitfully. And I've come to the point, because I think we all use the internet to look things up when we have a thought cross our mind about something in the scriptures, we might go to see what others are saying about it, and I know I often do that, but I'm at the place where I don't care how much good you say and how much I benefit from your words that are right on. If you can lead me astray on this issue of healing and deliverance and miracles, who's to say you're not leading me astray in other areas? So I took a moment the other night and I went to find out who the Bible scholars are. I knew the name of Gordon Fee, but who are recognized Bible scholars in the Pentecostal tradition? And for me, Pentecostal tradition just means people who do believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They're not casting that aside. And Pentecost was just a day. It was a feast. It was a time for Israel. It means 50. And it's also been assigned to those who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's another preaching or teaching. But God is a healer, and he wants to heal you. And looking at this verse, it says that though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I don't believe for a minute that means though you're dying with sickness and you're falling apart at the seams and you've got all sorts of ailments, that don't worry, because your inward man's being renewed day by day. You're just getting stronger and stronger on your inside while your outside is just rotting away. I don't think it's talking about that, because in the context we see that Paul is referring to heaven. He's referring to a day when we'll be with the Lord. And I think that what he's talking about is how the state of us all, when we come into the earth, from the very first breath we breathe, our walk is toward death. And it's towards the end of life. And as we walk in this life, and as we walk through this life, we need to have our focus on the kingdom and on heaven as our final home or as our final place of abode, and that this inward man is being renewed as we're focused on him. The inward man is being renewed, and don't be so worried about the hour. Don't be so worried about the flesh, because it's just going to die. This mortality will put on immortality. And so don't be so worried about it. But Jesus himself, when he was on the earth, and I'm sure Paul would use him as his example, what was his reaction to sick people and people who were suffering? The Bible said he had compassion on them. He didn't just say, oh, you know, your outward man is perishing, don't worry about it, it's okay, because your inward man's being renewed, so you can just dismiss any ideas of healing because it's not really all that important. Well, yes, it is important, because you need your strength to do the work of the ministry, to do the work of the kingdom of God. You need your strength to gather in the harvest. And especially I'm speaking to those my age and older, that God is not through with us yet. I see a lot of people are prophesying along this vein, and probably mostly people my age or older, which is 65, just wanting to give us an extra boost, an extra shot in the arm. We're not experiencing a downturn. We're experiencing an upswing of renewal within our minds and in our spirits. And whenever there's an attack against you physically, against your mind, against your spirit, you can be sure it's because God is not through with you yet. He still has a plan. He still has a purpose. And he is going to carry you through. And even though you may be slowing down and your outward man might be, quote unquote, perishing, your inward man is being renewed. Your inward man, every single day, your inward man is drawn closer to the Lord. And it's being renewed. And it's being strengthened. And it's exchanging our weak and feeble strength for his strength, if we'll reckon the word of God to be true. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I need to take a breather here for just a second, because I had a thought and it slipped, and Lord, I want that thought back. What was it, Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am going to share my own healing testimonies, and I wish I had doctor's notes and documentation, and but that just never occurred to me at the time they were taking place that I needed to get those things. So if you're one that needs documentation on healings, there are plenty to be found. Do some research, and you'll find some people who can give you documented healings. This is just my testimony. You can believe it, you can dismiss it, but I am going to share because I want to encourage you that God is a healer. He's absolutely a healer. You don't need to run to the doctor over every little thing. I'm not against doctors, but God will heal you if you'll let him and if you'll believe him, seek his face, pray. But now, Lord, where did that thought go? I had something. Oh, I know what it was. You know, I don't have any medical journals in front of me, but I've come across articles, and I'm sure you do, you have too, where stress is often a factor in, and anxiety is a factor in our, the way we feel physically. And this right here tells me, this shows me that if that's true, that's actually our human nature, our frailties, our anxieties, our stress, cooperating with the perishing of our physical body. I believe that that can be reversed when we walk in newness of life, when we walk in the Spirit, when we walk in renewal. I believe that if one is true, the opposite has to be true. If it's true that stress and anxiety and all those things can cause things like arthritis. I've heard unforgiveness causes arthritis, but things like arthritis or diabetes or heart trouble or whatever the diseases are that can be linked medically to stress by people who are the experts, if we can remove those factors and go in the other direction, don't you think it would mean that this perishing body at least stands a chance to have some strength and to have some get up and go and to have some stamina and to be rid and to be gone of these things? I believe it. I believe it might be the truth. And I also believe, and I have God talk to me in this way all the time, I truly believe the body has the ability to heal itself if we apply the right principles as far as diet, exercise, how we eat, what we eat, what's good for us. And you don't ever have to spend money on people's supplements and herbs and all that. But familiarize yourself with the Word and you'll see where there are things in the Scripture that pretty much tell you what's good for you and what's not so good for you that will help you. Do you know what I read the other day? Did you know that eggs add days to your life? They do. I've recently did some rearranging of furniture, and I moved my computer to a different room, so I don't have my computer at my disposal, or I quickly look up the Scripture. But go in your Bible, go in your concordance, and look up eggs or egg, and you'll find that there is a Scripture that says that eggs add to your life. And some years back, there was a big lot of stuff about how bad eggs were for you and how don't eat eggs because they're just full of cholesterol and just the devil just loves extremes. He can't stand moderation. He cannot. Just look at how he's working in the world today. The trouble he's stirring up. Just people going ballistic. He loves extremism. And the medical field is often right in his pocket with extremism. Not saying you need to eat a dozen eggs every day, but there's something good in eggs because it says they'll add days to your life. That's what it says. Another thing, bread. A lot of people think it's really bad to eat bread because they're carbohydrates and or starch, and you want to avoid the starch. But life is bread. Bread is, there is life in bread, to the point that Jesus even calls himself the bread of life. And to eat a slice of toast or a piece of bread, especially something that's made with healthy ingredients, is good for us. And I really believe that just about anything we experience in our physical bodies, we should at least, before we want to run to a doctor and before we let them cut into us and chop us up and take off parts and mess around with our organs, and we need to give the right diet a chance. Give it a fighting chance to see if it makes a difference for you. And I'm in that process right now. I'm giving diet a fighting chance because I really believe that the Lord is showing me that, you know, we can walk in better health and in divine health. And thank God for those healings that come that are miraculous, spontaneous, or even in the recovery mode. But God doesn't even want us sick in the first place. And I know that there's healing in his wings. And I wrote a long article on that. I forget the name of it. I need to upload it. Regarding healing and walking in divine healing. And I forget the name of that article, but I'll try to find it and put it online. See, I'm being forgetful. There's an answer. There's the right food. There's the right drink to help me with that. But I have to obey the voice of the Lord when he tells me, don't eat this or don't eat that. Do eat this and do eat that. It'll make a difference. It's going to make a difference. Believe it, believe it, believe it. And I want to give a testimony. Oh, Jesus, please help me to remember that name of that article. It's like it's on the tip of my brain. Well, maybe I'll bring it up again at the end. Going to go ahead and share my healing testimonies with you. And I'll just give them in order. I believe I've had five significant healings. The first one, and actually I'm sure there are some from when I was much younger. I know that I had a situation where I had a growth on my back when I was a little baby, and it was taken care of with these, they put these radium bullets on it, and it was taken care of in that way. But very significant healings will start when I was around 17, 18 years old. I had a plantar wart on the bottom of my foot, and I had it for months, and it was an irritant. It was very uncomfortable, and my mom would be after me about going to the doctor, and I would say to her, oh no, I'm believing God's going to heal me. I'm not going to the doctor. I believe the Lord's going to heal me. And it was partly that, but it was partly fear that I didn't really want to go to a doctor and have him cutting into my foot. And so I just held that line of what I was verbalizing, that no, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I believe God's going to heal me. Even if my motive was not perfect in declaring that, God still had mercy on me, because I was in a Sunday night, I think it was a Sunday night service, and a sister who the Lord used to come to visit our little church in Pennsylvania that we attended at that time. And a sister came, and she had a word of knowledge, which usually works with a healing ministry, because listen to this little revelation I got. People who are used in that way, where they get a word of knowledge in discerning healings, what a faith builder that is. If the God who speaks that word through a total stranger can do that, can have them read your mail or tell you exactly what your ailment is, and you know there was no way in the natural they could have known it. How faith-building is that for you to believe that God will also heal you. If he loves you enough to expose the problem, he loves you enough to heal you. Thank you, Jesus. So she didn't call me out individually, but she did call out. She just said there was somebody with a sore on their foot, and that's what she called it, a sore. And I wasn't going to let any grass grow under my feet. I got right up in that prayer line as quickly as I could. She prayed over me, and do you know, I wish I could say, I'm not going to be evangelistically speaking here, because I wish I could say it was the very next morning. I can't say that. My memory doesn't serve well enough for me to be able to say that. But I can say that within a matter of days, could have been the next day, maybe 2 or 3 days later, that planter's wart was completely gone. Completely gone. God had healed me. So praise God. That was my first notable healing that I'm keeping a record of. Now my second one came a few years later when I was expecting my first baby. And I'm sure many women out there who are listening who have had babies have experienced trouble with the sciatic nerve during pregnancy. I think it's pretty common. But that baby was laying on that sciatic nerve, and I was in misery. Started around my 5th month. Went to the doctor, and he told me what it was, explained all about it, and he said, just plan that by the 7th, 8th month of your pregnancy, you are going to be having to stay totally off your feet because you'll be in so much pain. There'll be no way you can walk. There'll be no way you can walk on that leg. Again, it was in a church service, and I can't remember. Maybe it's because I'm prone to want to give God the glory. I cannot remember clearly who the vessel is that the Lord used, but I had prayer. And don't you know that that sciatic nerve stopped bothering me? And I was fine. I was walking every day right up until the day that it wouldn't have been the day because I remember getting up. I went into labor around 5:30 in the morning. But up to the very day before, I was out and walking and just, at that time we lived in a little town. It was very easy to walk to your friends' homes or walk downtown for a cup of coffee. It was a very little compact place, and that was really nice. I loved that community feeling. And I've learned some things about community that I could share with you that are not wise to do. But, you know, you got to realize you're living in somewhat of a fishbowl. But anyway, I enjoyed my fellowship and my going downtown for lunch with a friend or coffee and walking every day right up to the day before I delivered that baby. That baby was delivered. Praise God. So that was another healing I experienced, the healing of the sciatic nerve during my pregnancy. Okay, fast forward some many years later to when I was living in Tucson, Arizona. I had a serious sinus infection. I don't remember if I doctored for it. This would have been in the 80s. Don't remember if I went to a doctor for it. I don't think I got, I may have, but I don't remember getting any antibiotics for it. But it was serious. I mean, I was miserable for weeks with it. And to the point that I was passing from my nose large blood clots. Blood clots were coming out of my nose. If I blow my nose, they would come out of blood clot. Like pea size. And it was very distressful. Well, at that time, we were attending a large charismatic church. We were also part of a little home group, a little home meeting, under the direction of a man of God that I love in the spirit. He's gone to be with glory, but what a precious man. His name was Brother Sid Pokrant, and I tell you, if ever a man was a prophet, of understanding of spiritual things. I mean, this was an unusual man of God. He carried a weight about himself in the spirit that just made me have such deep admiration and respect for him. Never heard him get up and give a prophecy. Of course, did hear him all the time because he shared in our Bible, or in a Sunday, he had a Sunday school class, and then also in the home meeting he shared, and he had his thing that he liked to share about a lot, and I'm not even going to go into that because that could make this a discussion of doctrinal, what's your doctrine, and I don't want to do that right now because I'm giving glory to God for healings and just want you to know that Jesus is a healer. That man prayed over me, and I was healed, immediately healed of that sinus infection. I know on that one, I remember well, it was not days later. I woke up by the next morning, that sinus infection that had plagued me for weeks was completely gone. So thank you, Jesus. And maybe it's not so exciting to get excited over getting healed of something like a sinus infection, but when you're the one dealing with it, hey, it feels good to be healed. It feels good to be able to breathe well. Thank you, Lord. So thank you, Jesus, for Brother Sid Pogrant. You know, when God uses people to bless you and minister to you, never take it for granted, because they've always got their story behind how God uses them. There's a reason that the Lord uses them and ministers through them. There's a well that's been dug in the Spirit. They've been faithful in prayer. They've been faithful to seek God. They've been faithful to the quiet place and to the devotional place. The Lord, uses those who want to be with him and spend time with him. Period. Amen. If you're being used of the Lord and you have a scattered life and you're not spending time with him, you're not seeking his face, you're not pressing into him for more faith, more understanding, more wisdom, there's a chance that you're just faking it, that you're just faking your way through the ministry. Don't want to be like that. I could say more about that. Jesus, help me never to do that. And I was very tempted to do it last week. I'll tell you about that later. But thank you, Jesus. As you noticed, I didn't post anything last week. And I realized that if I did post something, it would have been because I was faking it, because I was in a bad place. I just was caught under a fog and in somewhat of a depression, a discouragement, but God brought me out of that. But that's another testimony. So praise the Lord. So three healings so far. Healed of the plantar's wart. Healed of sciatic problem when I was pregnant. Healed of a sinus infection that was making my life miserable. And now the fourth one is a real biggie. Four or five are pretty big. And these ones I wish I did have documentation for. Was in living in San Antonio. And I had, my husband and I had a couple who are dear friends of ours, Viviana and Tito Amriquez, used to actually, they're little pastor in their Spanish church, was the first one to ever invite me to speak or preach in a meeting. And that was a blessing, because she never even so much heard me as to pray or give a prophecy. And God laid it on her heart to have me come and preach in her church. And thank you, Lord. It was a good place to start, because while the gal was translating from Spanish English into Spanish what I said, I had time to think about the next thing I was going to say. So that was a real blessing. And she invited me back again and again and again, several times. So Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Such so good to me. Such a blessing. So anyway, I began to have some issues of pain and went to my doctor, and she examined me, and she felt a lump in the uterus, or she felt something. She said it was like the size of a grapefruit. She sent me on over to the gynecologist. The gynecologist examined me and confirmed that there was a hard mass in my uterus, and again, like the size of a grapefruit. So they set up a sonogram. They scheduled me for a sonogram. Meanwhile, between that appointment, when the doctor put it on the schedule that I would come back for a sonogram, and when I actually went for the sonogram, Tito and Viviana came over to visit one night, which we were always in fellowship with them back and forth, doing things, you know, just really dear, precious friends and people of God. And this, Viviana was a emergency room nurse, and Tito was a school teacher. And so in the course of conversation, or, you know, just whatever we were doing, I requested prayer. So in my living room, we put a chair in the middle of my living room floor. They prayed over me. It wasn't anything dramatic or anything, you know, that you would ooh and ah about. It was just simple prayer. But apparently it touched the heart of God on my behalf. When I went back to that doctor and I went to that sonogram after two doctors saying that they felt a mass in my uterus like the size of a grapefruit, that sonogram came up clear. There was nothing there. I didn't have the boldness. I should have stepped right up and said, and given God glory. He just looked at me kind of like amazed and surprised. It would have been a golden opportunity to give God glory. And Lord, I'm so sorry for that. I wish I would have spoken up and said, that's because people prayed for me and Jesus healed me. Friends prayed and Jesus healed me. Don't ever, ever think that the only place you're going to get a blessing from God is in a church, or even in a home meeting or a prayer meeting. We weren't even having some kind of a fellowship meeting or prayer meeting. We were just hanging out together. And they prayed over me and God healed me. So glory to his name. So now that's number four. I got the healed from the plantar's wart, healed from sciatica, healed from sinus infection, healed of a mass in my uterus, and now the last one. And this is a pretty cool story. This is when I was living in the DC area. And I'm going to call names on this and give God glory. I was hemming up a skirt. And so I'm in my dining room, and that house had an open floor plan. And so I'm in the kitchen dining room area, and I stood up on a chair so I could look across the room into a mirror to see if I had pinned it up at the right length. When I went to get off that chair, I slipped and came crashing on my ankle, and it was definitely broken. So I went to the doctor, pain, and the x-ray showed that there was a fracture. I'm not sure why they didn't immediately do anything for it, but a fracture did show. Maybe I was supposed to go back, or maybe I had some kind of a brace or something. Whatever they put on it, it was something I could remove. It was not something that was stationary on my leg like a cast. Anyway, went back home, called a man of God, Michael O'Connor, to pray for me. And he prayed over me that God would heal that foot. Well, when I got off the phone, and this brother has an unction in prayer. You feel the anointing when he prays. He is a man of God who's loved the Lord for many years and true servant of the Lord. And when I got off the phone, the Spirit spoke to me, and he said, go in the living room. And I always love to name rooms in my home, and I had the music chapel in that home like I have the music chapel in this home. It was on one end of the room where I have my piano and just a little place where I would comfortable chair where I could look out the window and pray and just wait on the Lord, that kind of thing. So the Lord told me to go and sit in that room. I knew the Spirit spoke this into my heart. Go and sit in that room and put your feet flat on the floor for 20 minutes. Just sit with your foot totally flat on the floor for 20 minutes. He told me that. And so I went and I sat in that chair for 20 minutes. When I got up, not only could I walk, but I could jump on that foot. And I'll tell you, I remember so clearly, because this problem, this foot being in this condition, was an issue, because at that time I was working in Washington, D.C. with the Grace News Network prayer chain, prayer ministry. And I had to do a lot of walking. At that time, for those who are familiar with Washington, D.C., we were actually in the same building as the same building where the press, where a well-known press building is. I forget exactly what they call it, but where a lot of press briefings take place. The offices were in the same building. And having to walk from the train station or the subway to the office, that was a little trek. It wasn't overly long, but it was long enough that if you had a busted ankle or a fractured ankle, even a little bit, you would have been suffering and in pain. And I was able to just do that walk with, I don't even think I flinched. I mean, I didn't even flinch. The Lord had healed me. So he healed me of a sore on my foot. He healed me of sciatica. He healed me of a bad sinus infection. He healed me of what seemed to be a mass or some kind of a tumor in my uterus, the size of a grapefruit. And he healed me of a fractured ankle. Now, do you think that I am going to be intimidated by anything the devil throws my way against my physical body? No, I am not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be intimidated. He's still God. He's still my healer. And I'm suffering a few little things now that I'm not going to give the devil the pleasure of hearing me talk about them, because he just loves for us to talk about our aches and pains. I'm not going to give him that. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. But I'm telling you, got some little things going on, and I wake up in the morning and I jump out of bed. No, maybe I don't jump, but I get out of bed and I say, Jesus is my healer. He's not done with me yet. And I need my physical strength. By no means is this the end of the line. I don't care my age. I want to give you something that's kind of sweet. My mom has a friend, and this sweet brother in the Lord My mom's 87, he's in his 90s, and they talk about someday they're going to get married. I was kind of laughing because my mom said that they made up their mind that when God heals them, they will get married. And I laughed, and I just thought that was so funny. Oh, how cute. Well, of course, you know, they're up there in their late 80s and 90s. They're never going to get healed. But this is keeping them amused and happy, their little friendship and their fellowship. I felt God check me. What happened when Sarah laughed? She laughed when God said he was going to do a miracle when she was 90 years old. Guess what? God had the last laugh. Guess what? I think I may be the one, or God may be having the last laugh on me. Because whether you're 60 or whether you're 90, God is a healer, and he can still heal you. Your outward man may be perishing, yes. We're all going toward that place where we're going to eventually die. But there is, that's not what matters, because the real man, the real person, the real soul, the new creation we are in Christ Jesus is renewed daily. Every day we're being renewed. We're not getting weaker. We're getting stronger. We're not getting older. We're getting better, to quote Miss Lady Clairol. So thank you, Jesus. I hope that this has encouraged you to believe God for your healing. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the strength you give your people. I thank you that you send a confirming rain when the inheritance is weary, Lord. That God, when we're in that place, Lord, that we're down and we're out and we're unhappy and we're miserable, you have a way of just sending a shot in the arm to get us back on track, Lord. Father, believing you, confessing our faith that you are our healer, Jesus. You care about us. You, just like you cared about that multitude that you looked out upon and you had compassion, your compassion through the Holy Ghost now in this earth has not ceased, Lord. It has not stopped. And God, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every true servant of the Lord who's not seeing it in the word that you still heal and you still deliver. And they've cut this part out of their ministry so that their people are weak and sickly and discouraged, Lord. And there's no true word of life coming forth, God, that the people can take hold of and believe you for their healing. God, that you just begin to smite these preachers in their conscience, Lord. Smite their consciences, Lord God, that they will once again go into your scriptures, go into your holy word, and Lord, they'll run the references on healing, Lord, and how you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are God, and you change not, Lord. And God, you pour out your spirit in this day, and you said you will pour out your spirit upon all flesh, and with the pouring out of the Spirit comes the gifts of the Spirit, and healings and miracles are part of the gifts of the Spirit. So, Lord, we just thank you this day. You are our healer. You care. Lord, you pour in the wine and the oil, God. Father, you care, and we know you do. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, if there's anybody hearing me, Lord, who does not yet know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you cause them to confess, Lord, even right now, that you are indeed the beloved and only begotten Son of God who was sent into this earth. Lord God, that whosoever believe in you might not perish, but have eternal life. In Jesus' name, cause them to find a place of prayer. Cause them to find a place of repentance, for your word says that we should repent and be baptized, and you'll fill us with the Holy Ghost. Repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, let them follow the pattern, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And God, we declare that the same God who forgives our sins is the God who heals our bodies. And I thank you, Lord. And I pray especially right now, Lord, for Emily, Lord, who was recently bitten by a snake, by a copperhead, Lord, that all the swelling, Lord, would go down in Jesus' name, that all the swelling would leave her body and all the aches and pains would leave her body, and that Father, not only would she feel good, but that she'd feel better than she ever has. Lord, you see my prayer list of my friends, Lord, who need healing, Lord, who need a touch, a strengthening touch, Lord. I don't want to go through all the names, because if I did, I'd surely forget someone, Lord, and I don't mean to do that. So I'll just pray a blanket prayer, Lord God, for those who are weary with sickness and disease and infirmity. In Jesus' name, God, I speak healing. I speak your healing. I speak, Lord, that the stripes that you took upon your back will prevail for them and avail for them right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.